Welcome to Intentional Living, live in our Intentional Living Center today. Dr. Randy, we've been talking here as a staff, getting ready for the show, asking the question about marriage. When do you feel most loved? And Joel, who's on the board today, said he feels most loved quality time with his wife on aisle 5 at the grocery store. Hello. That's his. He is such a romantic, I tell you. Maybe you'd go to an upscale grocery store on those times when you go out. I don't know. All right. And Stephen said walking with his wife and holding hands. Doesn't that sound great? And Gino just isn't going to play the game with us here today. But hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Let's just kind of talk a little bit about when we feel loved and why is that a big deal? Because the feeling side of love, the feeling side of affection is sometimes missed in a marriage because we don't speak the language of love of our spouse, as my friend Gary Chapman says. You know, understanding your spouse's unique love language, what is it that really speaks to them, is when they're going to feel most loved. Quality time, Gary writes about, you know, gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, you know. But what is it for you? When do you feel most loved in your marriage? Give us a call. Let's talk a little bit. 888-888-1717 is my number. We're live here in the studio today and on Facebook Live. And by the way, Facebook friends, you can post or call 888-888-1717. Let's get at it. Cheryl first from Florida. All right, Cheryl, you're going to launch the show today. When do you feel most of the affection in your marriage?
Oh, it's really cool. My husband listens and makes eye contact, and he reminds me that even in the workplace, he says that a lot of women just want to be listened to and have eye contact made to them. So he makes a point to do that at home. So that's out of the ballpark for him at work when he does that at work. But when he brings that home, I just adore that because he's tired, but he listens and he makes eye contact.
So do you have a scheduled time that you do this, or is it just pattern of his interaction with you that when you speak, he really stops and connects with you?
As soon as he walks in the door from work, that's a key time for it. And then just the rest of the evening, we just do our routine and we continue to listen, make eye contact. And we also read our Bibles together or separate. We make sure we do both and stay prayed up. That's key as well.
Tell me a little more about that feeling that you get when your spouse does something as simple and as intentional as just paying attention, getting eye contact, and I'm sure, you know, asking questions and so on. How does that make you feel?
Thanks, Dr. Randy. I feel loved. I feel like our love language is connecting with one another. It's not just one way. It's mutual. And so I feel like I'm not constantly taking when I'm not constantly giving. I don't feel like it's one way. I feel like it's mutual back and forth and reciprocal. And then when we do have a heated moment, we just hit the pavement. We start walking or running together. And then by the end of the run, we're just like, oh, yeah, what was that thing that we were worried about? So it's totally cool.
Good. Good for you. That's how many years you've been married?
Let's see, it'll be 3 in June.
Good for you. And the way you get to 30 years is continue to do that, what you just talked about, over an extended period of time, easily forgiving one another, keeping things into perspective, and then understanding, as Gary Chapman says, the love language of your spouse and speaking that language and understanding what it is that moves them or affects them, and then doing that consistently over time is important. So, Cheryl, thank you for your call.
Thank you for taking today, Dr. Randy. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And I'm glad you called. Listen, you know, I wrote a book called Starve for Affection, and I did that based on hearing from many, many, married couples, in particular women who were saying there's a lack of affection. And as I did research, I understand that when you affect someone, you know, that's a powerful thing. Affection is really moving someone. There's something moving in the relationship. And so really asking the question, how do you affect your spouse? And I referenced Gary Chapman there a little bit ago. And Gary, in his book on love languages, reminds us that we're all wired differently. And sometimes you can be speaking to your spouse and speaking right over their head, you know, to the left, to the right, missing them totally because you're not speaking the language that they really can understand and appreciate.
One of the ways we show love and affection to our spouse is getting behind their eyes and learning to see life like they see life. Talking about eyes, you know, Cheryl was talking about her husband connecting eye to eye. What a powerful thing. You know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. And you think about it, it's the only organ we have that really is exposed to the world, except our skin. You know, we can really connect because of what we can see. It's a powerful thing. All right, we're talking about love and affection, respect, connecting in marriage. Why? Because marriages are in stress today. And whatever you take to share with us about your marriage will encourage someone else. It really will. All right, phone line is open. We're live here today at 888-888-1717 is my phone number. I'd love to have you join in, be a part of the show, talking about how to affect your spouse intentionally. Again, 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you.
Yes, I was just responding to the question that Dr. Renzi was asking about when do I feel the most love from my spouse. And for me, it's when my wife is correcting me. I know with Jesus, he spoke about the rich young ruler, told him to leave all that he had and follow him. And basically when Jesus was correcting him, but right before he received that correction, it said that Jesus loved him. And that's what I look at a lot. For me, that's when I feel the most love. But my wife is a correction. I don't like it all the time, but I definitely get it.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. I don't think that means standing on the corner beating people over the head. But you know what? People look at us. They've got to say, these people are different or weird. You ever anybody say, why do you do that? Why do you live that way? Why do you make those decisions? I think one of the concerns we all have today, or I have, when I look at our Christian community, we're so much a part of our culture, I wonder if people even see any difference in us at times. How we live, how we choose to live and respond. And yet Peter is saying, always have a defense for why you believe what you believe. And I wrote down here, and I think this is a really powerful thing, and I say this to our members as well and to our team, and when you're on the radio talking to people, be ready to have a defense. We need to know to tell our story. What's our story? Be ready with a defense. Be ready with the story.
The masterclass this month is on how to experience hope. Hope is a limitless supply from God. His intentional love and hope for you and for me is limitless. And however, many of us spend our days wanting to experience hope, and it's a gift from God. And so I did a study of scripture, and I found 10 scriptures that speak specifically about how to find and experience hope in your life. And that's one of them I just shared. It's our masterclass of part two on this two-part series. It's going to our members here mid-month, as we normally do, our intentional living community all around the country. And if you're not part, we'd love to have you be part today. Just join us at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press number 2 to talk to our staff. All right, you can call me now live. Tell me your story. When do you feel most loved? Maybe when you hear a topic like this, it kind of grinds you a little bit because you realize there's a lack of that affecting each other in a positive way. There's a lack of affection. There's a lack of feeling loved in your marriage. It kills marriages, destroys marriages, unless we take time to understand our spouse well enough to connect with them. So here's the question. Help others as you share. When do you feel most loved? 888-888-1717.
This message is in regards to the request for things that make I feel affection. And I'm calling to say that I often do not feel it with my own husband. Although I believe he loves me, I know he does. He has a very hard time showing that. He will often leave sweet and romantic messages, sometimes on the mirror for me in the morning, or text messages, or even sometimes give me a call during his work day. Even though I'm very grateful for them and I appreciate those things, they are not the same as truly listening to me, giving me his undivided attention when I'm uncomfortable, sad, lonely, down, discouraged, frustrated. Actually looking at me, not at a screen while I speak or any other thing, but looking at me while I speak. And physical affection, hugging, holding, or even just touching my hand, those are the things that make me feel loved. The other, like I said, is not something that I disregard at all. It's highly appreciated, but this doesn't do it.
Yeah, I think, Tracy, you remind us of what I was talking about a moment ago, illustrate the fact that we can, you know, we can be speaking to our spouse thinking that we're showing love, and maybe we are, and still be missed. Still be missed. I'll tell you, I've worked with enough people in counseling over the years. I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to, couples where the guy says, my wife just told me she's leaving me and I thought everything was okay. Kind of brain dead, you know, not missing the fact that there was something missing in that relationship, that he wasn't picking up the vibes. You know what I'm saying? He was missing the messages coming from her completely. And he might be saying, well, I know she's been a little distant for a while. Hello. And missing the fact that there's something going on. And that's really why we talk about a topic like this. Intentional living always has a purpose whenever we throw out a topic, because the question is, how are you affecting your spouse? In my book, Starve for Affection, I talk about how we affect each other. And we affect each other every day. The question is it a way that encourages and builds relationship, or is it discouraging in the relationship? So when is it you feel most loved? 888-888-1717. How about you, Christina? When do you feel most loved?
I feel most loved by my husband when I'm laying in bed and I cannot sleep, which is a real problem for me. And I ask him to tell me stories. And sometimes he like says no, because it's really hard for him to come up with something creative. So he just tells me this long, elaborate story filled with like ums and likes and you knows. But it's still really sweet to me because he's taking the time to like think that would make me smile when I can't sleep. Huh. And it works every single time. And I love it every single time. And it always makes me sleep with a smile on my face.
Fantastic. What attracted you to him when you first met him?
I don't know. I want to say that I went to a Christian college and I was looking for someone that was as solid as me. But then what ended up happening is that I needed someone to grow with me. So he wasn't as solid as I was, and I wasn't as solid as he was, and I thought he loved God more than I did. But it was this moment where I was talking to my friend, and I said, I think God is showing me how much he loves me through Rusty, because I don't think I'm capable of loving as much as he is. Mm. So it was just this amazing feeling when it just opened my eyes to, like, this is how much love is. Like, someone can love you as more than you love them.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Christina, that was asking that question about what attracted you to your husband. It's one of the opening lines I give in my conferences. And sometimes there's just a quietness over the whole auditorium for a while. And I jokingly say, what attracted you to your spouse? Nobody speaks. I say, that's what you're thinking about. What was it that attracted me? You know, hey, here's what happens. Think about this. The thing that attracted you to your spouse can later become the thing that drives you crazy. They're stable. Now they're boring. They were so outgoing and engaging with friends. Now I think they're just flighty and irresponsible. And so the thing that attracts us can also become the thing that can become a rub in the relationship. And if we don't spend time investing in that relationship, it creates a problem. When do you feel most loved? When do you feel most affected in a positive way in your marriage? Why don't you tell us? 888-888-1717 is the number. Hey, Joel, can you turn your mic on? I want people to, you need to clarify for everybody about this shopping business. So you enjoy just spending time with your wife and those kind of ordinary kinds of things?
You know, I am a big quality time kind of person, and just the day-to-day, you know, going out, going grocery shopping is something that I look forward to. I don't know that she does, but I enjoy. And then,
of course, push the cart? I mean, what do you do?
I push the cart, and I always end up in the Oreo cookie aisle for some reason.
Yeah,
I find all the sales and all the deals on the cookies and candy.
All right. So are you concerned about what she's buying? Are you critical? Are you involved?
No.
Are you just there just to be with her?
Just to be with her, yes. I am not concerned, other than the cookie aisle that I enjoy the most. I don't care what she's buying, nothing else. I just want to be with her, and that's my
good.
Favorite.
Now, that's good. You're a good man, Joel. He really is. This is a real guy here, by the way. And that's true for me, too. My wife and I, we get to walk in the morning. Most mornings, a couple miles together, just spending time together, talking about the day. Of course, with the heat we have in Tucson right now, you have to start at about 4 in the morning. But other than that, just spending time together. That's good. All right. You're welcome to join us. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's go to Roy in Michigan. Hey, Roy, how you doing? Hello. Are you there, Roy? All right. I guess we don't. Let's go over to David. Let me see where David, New Mexico. Hey, go ahead, my friend. When do you feel most affected?
My wife and I both have major health problems, and hers from an accident years ago when she was 17, me just recently. And with the health problems came a huge, huge financial burden and me not working anymore for quite a while, if ever again. And we started growing apart, and I realized one of the things that we had been doing while I was working is she would text me a little message during the day, or I would text her, and we'd kind of tag each other back and forth all day. Mm. It works wonders for me when I'm out there somewhere and the sun is so hot you could fry eggs on a rooftop. The crew is dragging their feet and being the crew. And the suppliers are late with everything. And then in the middle of all of it, when I'm so stressed, I could strangle the next person that walks up to me. She sends a text and just says, loving you, thinking of you, hope your day is going good. And suddenly the day is going good.
Right.
And there's been times we've dropped out of that habit because of our health. I spent a lot of time in the hospital. She spent a lot of time in the hospital, and we just get eaten up with just health issues, taking care of each other, changing bandages, doing the things that have to be done. But they aren't really affection. She made that clear to me the other night. That doesn't mean you love me. That means you're my caregiver. I want you to be my husband. It's her mantra. And I found that taking care of her, from her perspective, is what any nurse or doctor would do. But caring for her spiritually and emotionally in the way that I talk to her, the way that I show affection, even something as simple as when she's sitting in a wheelchair to walk by and brush her shoulder with my hand, and I'll always get this little response. And if I am out in therapy now, which I spend a lot of time at therapy, I'll again start getting these little text messages.
Well, with technology today, it's a good reminder for us, David, that we can stay connected just sending a text, you know, a quick email, whatever, just to say, hey, I'm thinking of you, love you. It makes a difference. When do you feel most loved? Let me see here. Let's go to Judy in Georgia. Hi, Judy. How you doing? Hello, Judy. Are you there? I think maybe we're having some phone problems there on that particular line. So let's take a quick break. We'll see if we can sort that out. We'll be right back.
The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals 6 verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. to receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And you know what? I hope you'll do that when you go to theintentionallife.com. Many resources, archive of all of our broadcasts are there for you as well. And I hope you'll take time to check it out. Thanks to our members who make all of this possible. You know, we're talking marriage today, and just a first-time announcement that we're happy to take our Intentional Love Marriage date night to the Duke City. We're going to be in Albuquerque coming up on November the 4th. That's a Saturday night, I believe. And the information will be up on site here in just a day or two, and you can get your tickets. It's very limited seating. And so if you're looking for a night where you can just laugh and learn and take away with you one thing that can make a difference for your marriage through intentional living, I hope you get your tickets early and also bring some other couples with you. Maybe make it part of your small group event. Again, coming up November 4th in Albuquerque, more information to follow in a few days. So just circle it on your calendar for now, okay? And we certainly would love to have you be a part of that. All right, let me try Judy one more time to see if they got the phone fixed. If not, I'm moving on to Jared. Are you there, Judy?
All right. Yes, I am.
There we go. Great. I'm glad we got through. Go right ahead.
Oh, good, good. I'm calling you from Georgia.
How are things in Georgia today?
They're doing well. Doing well. It's hot.
Yeah. Oh, listen, we know what that's about. We've been running 100 plus every day for the last 6 weeks or more.
Oh, yeah. Hot. Very, very hot and humid, yes.
Yeah, you guys get the humidity. But it's beautiful. Makes it nice and green for you. Yeah.
Oh, I know it. I know it.
How long you been married, Judy?
I've been married 52 years.
Well, you've learned something about this topic then, haven't you?
Yes, I think so.
All right. When do you feel most loved?
I enjoy my husband doing chores. Yeah, he does chores, things that I don't really care to do outside. He keeps the yard and takes care of, you know, cutting all the, you know, grass and takes care of the shrubs and, you know, just generally keeps everything, you know, outside looking really nice. And I just appreciate it so much.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's kind of the way it splits in our house, too. I'm the one that blows all the leaves that fall off the tree that we shouldn't have planted 20 years ago.
And now we live. I know what I've learned, that you don't plant too many shrubs against the house.
Hello.
I've learned that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. You plant it, and then it comes back and gives you the blessing of extra work on every Saturday. All right. So what have you learned, though, about marriage, Judy? We got young couples getting started in marriage. You've been married 52 years. What are some things you've learned about marriage?
I have learned to listen to your spouse. Pay attention to what they're saying to you, because it just means so much to them. It really does.
Yeah. Did you guys marry? You've been married 52 years. You marry young?
Yes, we did. I was 19. Mm-hmm. Actually, just had turned 20. Yeah, and him too. He's 6 months older than I am.
So over these 52 years, you know, you probably have had a chance to talk to other couples, young couples, others that are struggling.
Oh, yes.
And today it seems like when people are struggling, sometimes it's easier to leave than to stay. I can't imagine over 52 years, you've had your moments as well, haven't you?
Get aggravated, and next thing you know, it's caused problems because you don't know how to speak, you know, with one another, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're young like that, and it's hard, you know, it's hard because the other one at the time is not seeing your point of view. And if you're just smart enough to know to listen and just be quiet, you know, and just listen, you know, you can mm-hmm. get further with honey and sweetness than you do with, you know, being mean and unkind, you know.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Judy. Glad your husband, is he out there working today?
You're welcome. Yeah.
Is he out there working? All right. Pretty good. Good for him.
Yeah. He's out there cutting the field. We have a large field, so he's out there cutting that. And here in a little bit, he'll be waiting for something to eat. So you just have to, you know, take care of each other. That's what you have to do.
Amen. Hey, listen, you know, this thing of
marriage sometimes is not as complicated as we like to make it out to be. All right. Roy, you've been waiting there for a while in Michigan. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I enjoy listening to your show. And I'd just like to say that your previous caller was married 52 years, and my wife and I are the same 52 years.
Well,
and it took me 52 years to find her love language. Can you believe that?
Well, you're a slow learner, but when you get there, you get there, right?
Yeah. Well, what happens is every morning, like you say, you and your wife go for walks, while my wife and I are sitting at the table, and we're playing a game. And she wins all the time, and she's happy. And a happy wife is a happy life.
Amen to that, brother. Listen, what games do you play?
We play upwards. You ever heard of that?
No. Nope.
It's like Scrabble, but you go up with your words.
Oh, you mean they get
we
more
play
complicated?
That every day, twice a day.
They get more complicated, you mean?
No. It's easy after you catch on. The hardest part of upwards is learning the scoring system. Huh. And I know that like the back of my hand now. So,
well, you still lose, though. You still lose.
Like you never run out of words, Randy.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think we've been through Webster's book yet. So,
yeah. I tell you, my wife is good at Scrabble. Not so much me, but I'm okay with those three-letter words, you know? And then you argue about it, and you have to go get the dictionary and look it up, and there's some obscure meaning of that word somewhere that, you know, and I'll say, well, it's in the dictionary. I found it in this obscure dictionary somewhere. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it. I'll tell you what. I think we got our technology working. We'll see. But I'll tell you what. We're going to just stay here in the studio and just continue to talk. Love to have you join in the discussion. Maybe some of you are not married 52 years. Maybe you've been married just 52 months. And you've learned some things about when you feel most affected in a positive way, when you feel most loved in your marriage. Give us a call. Join in the discussion. Love to hear from you at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. And yes, when you call, we'll talk to you, and then we'll share that a little bit later in the week as we talk about intentional living today. If you're new, intentional living is a part of the ministry of Family Life Radio. We're committed to, as the scripture says, to understand what it means to love the Lord and then every day be obedient to that. In other words, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5. And that's what we attempt to do to encourage us in our marriage, our family, our finances, our health, and our work. I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. We'll see you tomorrow with more intentional living. Hope you'll be here.